Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming complete, entire, spirit, soul, and body. We've been talking about the results of getting healed. We have our own reasons for wanting to get healed. We often just want to get rid of the pain. But there's so much more wrapped up in getting healed and the results that we want to be aware sort of what we are getting ourselves into. Because when we are healed, we are embracing our true identity. We are learning to live totally differently than we have before. And change is hard. And if we don't know that ahead of time, very often we will not necessarily reject the healing, but not embrace it as a positive in our lives. We want God to heal us the way we want, not necessarily the way He wants. His healing sets us free. And with that freedom comes responsibility. And if we've been used to not being responsible, we have to relearn life skills, relationship skills, and very often this is not what we bargained for. We just wanted to feel better. We just wanted to be free from something. We didn't want to be free to do something. So we need to remind ourselves that regardless of the challenges, that freedom brings out who we are. That whether we want change or not, in our soul, we have chosen it in our spirit. We've embraced freedom as a spirit being. So if we are resistant to change and healing and responsibility, it's a resistance to our identity and not even to God. So if you're going to argue with someone, you're basically arguing with yourself. God's not making you do this. God's not making you change or embrace change. It's your spirit. This is where we can become double-minded. Let's not blame anyone for the changes that are going on in our lives. We've already agreed to them and embraced them. And want them in our lives. So one of the really important results to getting healed that we want to remember is that when we are healed of a particular wound, that we've talked about overcoming control, that prevents control from regaining a stronghold in our lives in that area. Once you've been healed in an area, I love the illustration Jesus gave about, you know, the devil came to him and found nothing. He couldn't get to him. There was no chink in his armor. That doesn't mean that the devil didn't keep bothering him. We know he did, and he does. That's what the devil does. That's what his job is. But our goal is that regardless of how much he bothers us, he can't find a chink in our armor. Doesn't mean we don't have to battle him. It's just he has no way in. Now, we can be rewounded, and we can even be rewounded in that same area. And for a while, we're likely to be sensitive in a particular area. But having the devil around can actually be helpful, because he shows us where we're wounded, where we react disproportionately or unrealistically. And we'll go into some of the symptoms and the signs of knowing that there's a wound there. But then we realize, okay, God, is this something you're ready to heal me of? And that's, one way we can recognize and determine where we are vulnerable. When we're healed, the devil cannot find a chink in our armor. So he has no inlet, no avenue into our life. Since even right now we live and move and have our being in the spirit, we no longer need our flesh to give us control to make us feel better. And because we now see things from God's perspective, and we have all our needs met in Him, the world system, what's going on in your circumstances, has only circumstantial effect on your life. In other words, it's a day-to-day thing. There are no eternal consequences or, life-altering events. Those have all been determined by God. Because you have received his life, you are no longer vulnerable to control by the world, the flesh, or the devil. So we go through each one of those areas in our life and embrace healing and recognize that in that area then, we've overcome that stronghold. We prevent control from regaining that stronghold. And we prevent the flesh from regaining a stronghold. So the world, the flesh, and the devil can't control us in an area we've been healed. Again, we can be rehealed, but that's not the same thing. You just have to be rehealed. I mean, rewounded and then rehealed. So let's take advantage of these opportunities when we are overly sensitive in an area. Lord, what do we need to do? What's going on here? Is this something you want to heal? Is this a belief that I need to change? Rather than railing against the world, the flesh, or the devil, Lord, why am I vulnerable in this area? And then we do not resort to control, to trying to use our own strength to battle the circumstances, to protect ourselves. So once we learn the pattern, we're not going to fall back into control in that area. This is one of the reasons, though, why it is important that we sort of schedule a checkup with ourselves on a regular basis. And when we're going into a stressful situation or coming out of one, to do a review. It's like when you go on a trip or you're planning for a big event, you take better care of yourself so you don't get sick. Same type of thing with wounds. We don't want to go into situations, especially that we know are going to be difficult, with unhealed wounds. Now, until we're complete and perfect in Him, spirit, soul, and body, we're going to have unhealed wounds. But those that we know about, God wants to heal. And those that He brings to the surface, He does so He can heal them. So there may be times that we think there's things that we need to deal with, but when we ask God, nope, you're good. Enjoy your trip. And then we can enjoy our trip knowing that whatever happens, we've done our part. So getting healed also results in resting in His labor. As we are healed, we are also learning to let Jesus work in us and through us. From our spirit, through our soul, through our body. The job of the branch is to simply stay connected and receive its life from the vine. There's that difference between producing fruit and bearing fruit. You and I don't produce it. We bear it. As God's life, your life, your new eternal life from your spirit flows through you, it produces fruit. You don't have to work to do anything. You just let it come. You let it flow. And it will flow in the direction it needs to and produce what it needs to produce. You just bear it. You hold it out. You offer it. You are the branch that produces the character of life that flows through it after you have first received life for itself. I like the verse in the Old Testament, don't muzzle the ox as it does its work, as it treads the grain. Let it eat. We are the first partakers of that life flowing through us. God doesn't give you life so you can give it to someone else. You have to first receive it. And then, because you are a giver, you give it out. You're not the halfway step as far as He's concerned. You're not just the storehouse. You are the receiver. You are the end. And then you give it out. Now, even though as a branch you don't produce it, the fruit, you only bear it, still every fiber of the branch is involved in the fruit bearing. That's what you do now. And you're totally involved in that process. This is just that odd balance or correlation between activity and passivity. It's we think because you're not working, you're not expending, you know, stress to accomplish something, your own strength, that you're not doing anything, you're not productive. But you are being and doing exactly what God made you to do and be. And you are being perfectly productive because you are receiving what God wants to give. So, in the fullness of time, we experience that restful balance of being fully involved in working while being perfectly at rest. There are out there those descriptions of type A personality and type B personalities. And people think that, you know, the type A personalities get heart attacks because they're working too hard. And that nothing could be further from the truth. They get heart attacks from not working, trying to meet other people's expectations. That's the way God made them. And likewise with type B personalities. These are generalities, yeah, but for our illustration purposes, that the way God made you in your soul, He likes you that way. He's not tasking you to fix your soul, to balance out your strengths and weaknesses. The whole concept of strength and weakness in our soul is our idea, not His. If He says, if He looks at you, your soul, and says, or when He did, and gave it to you, here's your soul. It's perfect. Take good care of it. We're the ones who say, those are strengths and those are weaknesses. Here are my strengths. Here are my weaknesses. God didn't say that. God gave you a gift in your soul. So when we fight against it, we're arguing with God. And that's where that stress comes in. So it's learning to accept our soul, our temperament, our mind, will, and emotions, and the way He put each one of us together, as the perfect gift that He gave us. Letting that soul be what it is, with our perceived strengths and weaknesses, that's when we can enter into rest regarding our soul. Arguing about your soul, your strengths and weaknesses, is like objecting to the way God made you physically. Yes, you inherited your body from your parents, but you agreed with God that those were going to be your parents, and this is what you were going to look like. Now, one thing is that neither your physical body, your physical appearance, nor your soulical makeup determines your identity. Those are things about you. They are not you. But that's why we can enter into rest, because we don't have to judge ourselves or be judged of others or judge others based on their soul, their temperament, their physical appearance. This is one reason why dependent Christians should be the most accepting people. It's because they realize wherever others are at any given time is exactly where God wants them. And as nasty as they can be, or as talented as they are, that's exactly what God wanted them to be. We'll get into correct judging at some other time, but we rest in accepting them the way they are now, not their actions, but them, as well as ourselves, because we recognize that that's exactly the process. They're going through exactly the process that God wants them to, and their strengths and weaknesses are exactly what God gave them. He likes them. They're not broken. He's not going to fix them. Now, they may be moving out of their flesh, as we do. But you can't change someone else's flesh either. You can't even change your own. We just agree with God that it needs to be changed, and He takes it from there. He's so gracious in giving us that rest, giving us a taste of this is what it's like to be at rest, even while fully working, fully being involved in our day-to-day lives, planning big things, running companies, inventing new things, running the marathon, sleeping, doing calculus, plowing a field, playing with our kids, all at perfect rest. Rest that comes from being joined within ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, so that we're not living according out of our flesh or according to the world, flesh, and the devil, but purely by our spirit. We're just getting tastes of that now. But more and more, as we are healed, we learn to rest in His labor. As resting is not joining a monastery. It's not lack of activity. It's living according to our true identity, our true temperament, and our true physical body. Once you've experienced it, it will make sense. Trying to explain it to someone, not so much. It's a learning process. And as we learn, as we grow, as we change, we learn more about ourselves, about God, and about our circumstances. So wherever you are right now, that's exactly where God wanted you. And you'll be able to say that tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Remember, time is a created thing. And whatever baggage we're carrying from the past, whatever happened was exactly what God wanted to happen. There are no second causes. God never said, you know, whoops, Satan got the better of me. Or because they didn't pray right or not enough people prayed, Satan had his way in the situation. We try to impose our beliefs on God. And regardless of what we believe, God's just going to do what He's going to do. Recognize that in your spirit you've agreed with Him in what He's doing in your life. And He will teach you how to rest even as you labor. One thing that's really annoying is when you're around someone who's at rest, they're really hard to provoke. That's, I think, one of the reasons there was such a violent reaction to Jesus when He was walking around and teaching, is that the religious of the day would come out and provoke Him, and He wouldn't react. We marvel at, Oh, he always had an answer. But those answers came from being at rest, knowing his identity and resting in it, letting the life of the Father, again, he was taught by the Father, he didn't teach himself. So we can go to the same Father and get that same teaching and enter into that same rest. That doesn't mean there's going to be nothing but peace and love and harmony around us. Probably the opposite. There's nothing more provocative, especially within the church, than the confidence of knowing who you believe. When you are dependent on God for your life, for truth, for everything, you don't need others that need you to need them. We've all had experiences where people want you to need them. And when you don't, there's a strong reaction. Unfortunately, so many of them end up that people who are needy end up in positions of authority within churches. They enjoy being, you know, martyrs, sacrificing themselves, sacrificing their families so they can serve others. Well, there's been one sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. That was done. Now, any sacrificing we are doing, it's for ourselves. We don't need to sacrifice ourselves for others. We have already laid down our own belief system and accepted the truth, true God, in our spirit. And we can let him reveal himself as he chooses to us and through us. We don't need to be on anyone else's schedule or even care how they evaluate us. Throughout history, those that have heard God and believed him have been rejected, both by society and religious circles. So we're not ignorant of that. But we're not going to let that keep us from experiencing God, from knowing him, from receiving his eternal life now. He knows what he has in store for you, that it will be satisfying, that it will meet in your spirit. He's already met all your needs. And since his desire is that you be complete in him, spirit, soul, and body, that means every area of your life, all your questions, all your doubts, all your needs in your body, in your soul, he fully intends to meet. So we don't need to be concerned that this area of our life is not of concern to him. As we depend on him and do what he asks of us out of that dependence, he meets our needs. He supplies what we need in a variety of ways, through others, through himself directly, a variety of ways. He gets to pick. But we can rest assured that as we rest in him, depend on him, what he wants to get done will get done. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. We'll be getting back together again Thursday at 7:30. Until then, have a great week.